God's love is so love. We say that all the time. In fact, our English vocabulary would be real short without that word. So that made me so mad. She was so tall. He was so lovely. She was so attractive. That was so maddening. That was so threatening. That took so long. That was so far away. And S-O, so, gives us an extended measure of what's happening. And God's love is just not love. It's so love. It's given in the book of Ephesians in four dimensions. You know, we stretch our minds to think in three dimensions. We basically are length and width person. And if we stretch it, we might be height, length, width, height people. And the love of God is expressed in four dimensions. That's because it's bigger and broader than you could ever imagine. Now it's understanding the love of God that lays such a firm foundation for our healing. It's understanding who He is and that He doesn't ever change. His love is always, in spite of everything, God so loved the world that He gave. He gave and surrendered His Son to die for sinners, for His enemy. That's in Romans 5. Look over there. For the weak. That's almost beyond our imagination. If I would ask you to give your heart, to give your life, to surrender your time for somebody you thought was despicable, unkind. You know who that is? Look at Romans 5. Romans 5 is a great... Verse 6, we were yet without strength. In the due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Despite His love for the ungodly, those that were not like Him at all, that would be you and I, and for those that were weak, without strength, gave Himself for those that were out strength. If you follow the dodo, you know the dodo, it's an animal sight. That's what we do in our spare time. We see what that animal happened in the animal kingdom. And they're all the time somebody surrendering their life to rescue some animal. It's an amazing what people will give their life for. An animal that is temporary, that is weak. One dog had slid down an embankment, a concrete embankment, into a deep recess of water and was drowning down there. And there was no way to get to him except for hand-to-hand combat. One man holding the next man's hand, holding the next man's hand, till the man got in the water and could get out far enough to bring the dog to pass him up the line. It was a marvelous, amazing rescue for an animal that was weak. And that's what God did. He said, for your weakness I came. The fact that you weren't like me didn't keep me from rescuing you. And then he said in verse 8, but God commended His love, that shower declared His love. He demonstrated His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died. He died for sinners. He died for people who made mistakes, who were in error, and many and most turned their back on Him. And then it goes down to verse 10, if when we were enemies, He calls us the enemies of heaven. We were reconciled. When you're reconciled, you go from enemy to friend. And you have somebody, if you reconcile a marriage, you have somebody that talks to the husband, talks to the wife, and tries to bring the two together. And Jesus was the reconciler that brought us to God, that brought us together. And it wasn't enmity on God's part, it was enmity on ours. But you see, by the death of His Son, which much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. You see, again, in spite of who we were, in spite of what we'd done, He chose to rescue and deliver. He wasn't moved or put off by the fact that we had turned our back on Him. That's amazing. It's an amazing love. And it's a love we're going to imitate, which we can imitate, because it says in verse 5 of the same chapter, hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad, that's poured into our lives, our hearts, by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. The day you were born again, the Holy Ghost came to take residence in the human spirit. Your human spirit, you are spirit, soul, and body, and your spirit was recreated. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So I'm a new creature, and the Holy Ghost lives in me. He lives in me because I need Him. I need His guidance. I need His leadership. I need His explanation of Scripture, His great ability to teach and declare the Word and proclaim it to me. I need Him. He lives in me. But the other thing that He's put in me is agape love of God. That means I'm equipped to live in spite of. Just let that sink in. Equipped to live in spite of who you are and what you said. how you treated me, how unkind you were, how you disappointed me, how you didn't make your appointment, how you didn't keep, you know. I'm equipped to live, to overlook all that, to live in spite of that.